Please join with me as the choir goes down to their seats. The Gospel of John today is our reading, John chapter 20 and verses 1 through 16. Hear the reading of God's holy word. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Y'all, we got to say that better. This is Easter Sunday. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. As I was traveling to church this day, I noticed several things that were taking place that seemed odd to me on an Easter Sunday. I saw one person out cutting grass. I saw another carrying their camper going off on a trip or coming home from a trip, camping on vacation. Is this not the most significant day in the life of the church, in which we celebrate our risen Lord and Savior? Is this not the best place to be in a church? On the day of resurrection, to celebrate as so many other Christians celebrate throughout the year, it is not a time to cut grass. It is not a time to go on vacation. It is not a time to go to a ball game. It is a time to worship God. He has given His all for you. He asks so little of us just to follow Him. He has done the heavy work. He has gone to the cross. He has suffered and bled and died, and without sin, taking on that so that we could know and experience a relationship with Him and love and joy that is everlasting. How could anybody be anywhere else? Yet Jesus has died not just for us gathered here, but for the one cutting grass today. For the one going to a ball game. For the one going on vacation. For the one who is just watching TV. Or laying on a couch. Jesus has died for all. And it is up to us to see and receive what He has given for us. In this story, In this story, you see that, and I've been preaching on a sermon series, the last words of Jesus on the cross. And that spoke to his passion and his love for you and me, and how he exhibited the detriment of a cross where no one comes down from a cross alive. He was beaten to a pulp. He gave of his last breath. He was dead. And when Mary came to the tomb, she expected to find a dead Jesus in the tomb. The other disciples hadn't even come to the tomb. They knew and believed that Jesus was dead. In fact, he had died. He wasn't in some comatose state. He wasn't in some, knocked out for a while and recovered. God died on a cross, and our sin placed him there. And he chose to willingly take that cross and that burden of sin and guilt that is upon us, upon him. And only after Jesus speaks do we see that he is indeed a risen Lord and Savior. These disciples came only after hearing from Mary, who said, I have seen the Lord, they've taken the body away. So there was a fear, even at that point, that Jesus was somehow taken away and that there was an empty tomb there. But it did not speak to the life of Jesus risen. It is only at the point that Jesus calls out to Mary. He's even present before, and she doesn't know who he is. But it is only at that point where Jesus says, Mary. That personal connection in which she identifies this person before her to be her Lord and Savior who is risen from the grave. When we enter into heaven, when we come to the gates of heaven, so to speak, and we meet God face to face, we want the counselor Jesus to be there before us, who will call our name because he knows you and me. We don't want to hear, depart from me, I never knew you. You see, this is what Mary heard. She heard her name called, which meant that it was significant to Jesus to know her and for Mary to know Jesus, and that she recognized his voice. And we will recognize the voice of Jesus in heaven. And as he is risen, so shall we rise too from the grave. There is a video of a young girl who is deaf, or mostly deaf. I really don't know, but anyway, she's given some kind of implant. Maybe it's one of those cochlear implants or something. And while in the office, and her parents are around, her family is around, they flip the switch so that then she can hear. And when she hears her mother's voice, she gets all excited. And she begins to utter her own voice in ways that was just pure excitement that she's heard her mother's voice for the first time. Such, I think, would be for Mary here in the tomb, hearing the voice of Jesus, thinking that he is dead and he is now alive. She has heard his voice, and it is said her name, Mary. Oh, there must be joy right then and there. She was ready to embrace him. She was ready with excitement to go and tell the disciples, I have seen the Lord. Not just I have heard the Lord. Her faith has already gotten to the point of saying, I have seen the Lord. He is risen. And I know this because I heard the Lord. And then I saw him risen from the grave. His scars still there. The wound in his side. The thorns that had been upon his head. All there and present. But Jesus was made anew. And alive, where death had no dominion over him. He was victorious. And that's why we sang today in the song, where, O death, is thy sting? Where, O death, is thy grave? There is victory, you see, in Jesus. Jesus speaks. He was dead, and now he speaks. Graves are quiet places, folks, because the dead have no breath, no voice, no life. This is why these first words of Jesus after the resurrection speak not just to an empty grave, but speak to one who is alive and risen from the dead. Jesus and all who hung on a cross died. Rome didn't let people come down from a cross alive. They were great at this element of death, of execution. And the cross, you need to understand, is just like an electric chair or a guillotine or a hangman's noose. It was meant to execute, to take life away. There was in one instance where on a road some 18 miles out from Rome, crosses were displayed with people hanging on them who were rebellious to Rome. And every one of those persons were there for days and even weeks to demonstrate the power of Rome and any who came against it. Now, Jesus wasn't coming against Rome. He was coming to be a savior of the world. It amazes me that as good as he was, as helpful as he was, as healing as he was, as everything that he did, it amazes me that he went to the cross. But our sin in this world, which equals death. Sin put him there, either out of jealousies, out of hatred, out of whatever. Sin put him there. And none of us can escape that. We're all just as guilty as those who were there at the cross themselves. Our sin that separates us from God. And just let me just say very quickly, sin isn't, you know, what people in this world want to imagine it to be. Sin is just this. It's anything that separates us from God. Separates us from that thirsting and holy relationship with God. Our sin, our disobedience to the will of God placed Jesus on the cross. But Jesus didn't just pass, he didn't pass out. He didn't enter into a coma. He wasn't stolen away. Jesus died. And he had no more voice. He had no more life. Jesus died, and there was silence. And on the first day of the week, Jesus spoke and said, Mary. Do you know that's why many in the Christian church worship on Sunday? Have you thought about it? Why don't we worship on the Sabbath, the Saturday? Saturday is the Sabbath. Sunday is actually the first day of the week. But it is on the first day of the week that we hear that Jesus is risen from the grave. And therefore, the church has chosen to honor that day of resurrection. Really, every Sunday is like a worship of the day of resurrection. and why God asks us to gather to celebrate the goodness of God. I remember, to breathe, to speak equals life. And such Jesus does. I remember watching my firstborn during the night. And I was all worried about SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. And my daughter Sarah was in the bassinet beside my side of the bed. And I was so worried. And so I would wake up from sleep throughout the night and just look over and just see if she was breathing. And if I couldn't get enough sight vision to know and to prove that she was breathing, then I would place my hand on her rib cage just to feel if the expand and contract. And then I would be comforted and could go back to sleep for a while. Now, eventually I got over that, and then you begin to worry about things just like parents do. As your kids get older, there's all kinds of other things that you get concerned about. Not that I should be concerned about. I mean, she's a great kid. Great adult. You see, we do not have faith in an empty tomb, but we have faith in the risen Lord. Our faith isn't built on an empty tomb. It's built on the risen Lord. Now, somebody shared with me something this week, and I'm going to use it, and I apologize to you. You know who you are, that I did not share this with you earlier. But it's nothing against them. It was actually a good story that goes along with what I'm sharing today. And some Christians, and this is a fault sometimes of Christians, is we want to improve upon the story when the story doesn't need improving on. For instance, there's the legend of the donkeys with the cross. And the donkeys have a cross on the ridge and along their shoulders. But nowhere in Scripture does it say that Jesus came riding in on a donkey when Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. Nowhere does it say that at the cross there was a donkey there, and therefore it burned the line of the cross upon the back of the donkey. It's a cute story, but it is not the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel stands on its own. It doesn't need embellishment. It doesn't need improving. The truth is that Jesus came to this earth born as a baby. God became a child born of Mary, who had no sin but took sin on through being born as a Son of Man, who then died on the cross, not numb to its effects, but who died just as we would die. And then who rose again and demonstrated rising from the grave by speaking life, Mary. Jesus demonstrated authority and power. These things do not need to be improved upon. They're great altogether on their own. And our efforts to try to improve upon them deny its power. Let us just celebrate this day a risen Lord and Savior who has spoken the witness of calling out in his first words the name Mary. And just as he calls out to her, this evidence to her that she would bear witness, our hope and prayer is that he will call out our name too one day when we enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Christian church has been under challenge over these last, well, it's always been under challenge, but it seems even more so today, doesn't it? You know, people want to say, well, speak to your truth. This is my truth or your truth, and live out your own truth. There's no basis for that. There's no moral righteousness in living out whatever you want your truth to be. Either Jesus is risen from the grave, or we are the most foolish people. But I believe that Jesus is risen from the grave. That there is a standard for hope where nothing else gives hope. Our culture today adds confusion as if everyone can have their own truth. But common sense tells us this is a lie. Everyone can have their experiences in life, their history, but there is but one truth, and that is the one who claimed from the grave and called out in life and voice the name Mary. You see, when Jesus said Mary, it's spoke to his power and his authority. It spoke to his power and authority over sin and death. And Jesus was not silent. And because Jesus is risen, the church cannot be silent as well. The moral compass and the need for the church to push the pendulum toward faith, toward thirsting for righteousness, not just, hey, I got to live perfectly. No, but that I want to live for God. I want the things of God. This may sound political. I don't mean for it to, but I guess anything I say could sound political if you wanted to go to that level. But I am disappointed that the White House had an Easter egg hunt. And the instruction went out to the, I believe it was the Coast Guard's children, that in celebration and drawing pictures or coloring eggs and doing some artwork, that they were told and instructed that nothing could be controversial and nothing religious. Are we to sit idly by and stay silent as a church when Jesus has told us to speak, to exhibit life? Are we to accept that Christmas should just be about Christmas trees and gift giving? Are we to accept that Easter is just about Easter bunnies and hunting Easter eggs and handing out candy? No. We should expect and not be silent. And thank God so many churches today who are celebrating Easter are celebrating the power of Jesus risen from the grave. If the government won't do it, where should it happen? It's just like the Ten Commandments. We, above all people, should be obedient unto them. We, above all people, the church, should celebrate the risen Lord and Savior, regardless of what the world does. If the church only gives culturally palpable and an acceptable response, then we are silent to the resurrection, having no faith in the power of God's holy word. Our culture once received the scriptures with awe, and then later as an historical book, among others, or a great lesson among many others. And then, today, the culture laughs at Scripture and calls it a children's storybook and of laughable tales. And even worse than this, they call it oppressive. When in fact, what Jesus has done has brought freedom and brought justice to the world and hope for a lost and dead world, that without which there would be no life. There would be no life beyond this time that is allotted to us on this earth. Let us stand in contrast. Let us stand as the same witness that Mary Magdalene did when she heard the name Mary uttered from Jesus' own mouth. Life. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to live for You. Help us to trust in Your holy word. Help us to stand, O God, firm in foundation. You have given us these first words when You could have been quiet and silent and rejected us. But instead, You spoke the name Mary, and just as such, You will speak our name to all who follow You and are covered by the blood of Jesus. Thank You and praise Your holy name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.